Let's pray this morning as we dig into the Word. God, I thank you that you are here with us, that you speak to us each and every day. And God, as we come to your Word today, Lord, we open up our hearts. We want to hear from you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So over the past several weeks, we have been looking closely at our doctrine, that basically the what we believe of our faith. And this morning, we're going to be digging into what it means to live a Spirit-filled life. As we know, we've been talking about this already a few weeks back. We believe that Jesus is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. That from the moment we choose Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he leads us and he guides us. He produces fruit that marks us as new creations, daily becoming more like Jesus. And that's this process of sanctification. And when we ask, the Holy Spirit will come upon us, just as he did with the first followers in Acts chapter 2, and he will give us power to witness about him. And that infilling of the Spirit, when we have that infilling of the Spirit, we have access to all of his gifts. Those are some of the things that we've been talking about over the past few weeks. But this morning, our focus is on how we can live a Spirit-filled life, day in and day out. Because sanctification is a process. It's not a one-time deal, right? When we just wake up one morning and we have it all figured out, or we're just these perfect Christians. That doesn't happen. It's a process, where we walk in step with the Holy Spirit and we allow him to transform us by producing within us what we need to grow and develop as healthy followers of Jesus. So our text this morning is Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to head there in just a moment. But first, I want to talk to you just briefly about gardening. How many of you are good gardeners, or just you enjoy it? Raise up your hand if you enjoy a good garden. Okay, good. I know that we're just getting to know each other, and so one thing that you should know about me is I am a terrible gardener, although I would love to be a good gardener. Like now, I don't want to wait to the future. I would love to just go out there and be able to do a good job at gardening, to be able to produce something. I'm just terrible at it. I think my problem is that I usually start well, but I don't finish well when it comes to gardening. One of my friends, in an effort to encourage my lack of gardening skills, she told me once, well, Lizzie, you can either successfully grow plants or grow children. And she looked at me, she's like, I think right now, this season, you're just supposed to focus on your kids. And I'm like, thank you very much. That makes me feel better, because so far, my kids are growing, they're alive, they're healthy, so I can check that box. But my garden is not so lucky. I had another friend, we were out shopping once, and we saw a little plant sign, you know, that goes inside your indoor plants. I cannot tell you how many indoor plants I have killed in my life. It's a lot. Yet people keep buying me indoor plants. I think they're hoping that one day I'll be successful. But this friend, who knows me really well, she bought me this sign to go inside of a plant that says, I'm literally dying. And man, I bought a plant and I'm like, this is gonna be the one. I'm gonna keep it alive. It was supposed to be this like low maintenance plant. No, I killed it. And so the sign rang true. I'm literally dying. And every time I looked at it, I'm like, yep, that's me, my gardening. But when we moved here in August, we were so excited because there's such a long growing season here. So on our first full day here, the house is filled with boxes. We can't find anything, but we were so excited that we could actually plant a garden here still in August that we went to the plant store and we bought all these starters. We even bought some seeds. And we went home and we planted them, and for that day, it looked so beautiful. Everything was just like perfectly manicured. We were excited to grow food. We were excited to have some beautiful flowers. We even got to eat some of the lettuce. It grew. We succeeded partially. But then we got busy. We got preoccupied. We got tired. And within a very short amount of time, the weeds crept in, because I guess they grow here too. And our beautiful garden was just not so beautiful anymore. Plants are toppled over. Things are overgrown. Who knew that if you don't actually prune down lettuce, it will just get so top-heavy that it'll just fall out of the planter box? Well, we discovered that this year. I didn't know that. I think more animal creatures have enjoyed the you know, produce in our garden than we have. And, you know, we tried beets and carrots and radishes. We had high hopes, and, well, that didn't work. See, when we don't stay on top of gardening, life doesn't come. It takes work. And when we neglect the work, what comes is that death and the decay, the disease. And the same is true in our lives as followers of Jesus. If we aren't taking care, if we aren't walking in step intentionally with the Holy Spirit, we will see the same results as an unkept garden. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul was writing to this church in Galatia, and he was frustrated. He was a little bit confused as to why they were struggling in their walk with Christ. Why weren't they growing as they should have been? And when you read the entire book, you'll see that this main issue that the Galatians were struggling with is that they were trying to live and walk according to the flesh and not the Spirit. And so Paul spends his time reminding them that in Christ, they are no longer held under the law, but they can live under the grace of Jesus and therefore walk according to his Spirit. So we're going to begin reading, if you have your Bibles, we're in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 16. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Verse 19. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." So Paul starts here. It's a little bit heavy. Don't worry, we're going to get to the encouraging stuff in a moment, but sometimes we have to understand where we begin, where this journey comes from. But Paul actually starts with an encouragement first. And he says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Walk by the Spirit. The word walk is literally translated, keep on walking. You have received the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. Now keep on walking with him. And we see in these few verses that there is quite literally a war that is going on inside of us. It's the sinful nature versus walking by the Spirit. And what we need to remember in our daily lives is that the Holy Spirit does not operate automatically in our lives. Let me explain. He doesn't control us. He's not a puppeteer and we're just these puppets that he manipulates to live a particular way, to be these perfect Christians. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. We have a job, and that is to intentionally depend on him and follow his lead. We have a choice, and it's a daily choice. In fact, I think it's a moment by moment of everyday choice. Do I keep on walking with the Spirit, or do I allow the sinful nature to take over? Another letter of Paul's in Romans chapter 7. He talks about this struggle. This is the Apostle Paul. And basically, in summary, he says, man, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I keep on doing. The Apostle Paul struggled against the ways of the flesh. It's so relatable, isn't it? The ways of the flesh, our sinful nature, it just keeps trying to spring up in our lives. It's like those pesky weeds in my garden that keep popping up, right? You're constantly pulling them, but if we don't dig down and get that root out, they are going to continue to come up. And I'm sure that you've experienced this if you've been following Jesus for any amount of time. But the reality is that you cannot live a fruitful Christian life in your own strength. We can't do it on our own. We couldn't save ourselves, and we certainly cannot in our own strength overcome our sinful nature. Earlier in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, "Are you so foolish, you foolish Galatians? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" See, when we try to do this Christian walk of ours in our own strength, it's as if we are relying on our flesh. And what did we just read that the flesh produces? I didn't read anything nice, right? The flesh produces some not great things. Those aren't the things that bring life. Those are the things that bring death. So why, Paul is saying, and he's asking, why do we keep going back to the old ways? Those things that bring only harm. Because see, in Christ, we are new creations. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that the old is gone and the new has come. So we are to walk, we are to keep on walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Don't turn back to the ways of the flesh. The flesh hinders what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. We need to remember that we are saved by the Savior and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And that sanctification comes when we, just as Paul says here, keep on walking with the Holy Spirit. As we do that, he leads us to freedom. And as we're going to see in the next few verses, he leads us to fruitfulness because the Holy Spirit hinders the works of the flesh. If we want more fruit, let's get in step with the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 says, "The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." See, when we submit to the Holy Spirit's lead and we keep on walking with him, we will see fruit come to life and ripen in our lives. And it is a work that is done only through him, only through the Holy Spirit. In fact, have you ever tried to produce this fruit, the fruit of your spirit, on your own? Have you ever, in your own strength, tried to produce, I don't know, oh, here's a good one. How about more patience? Have you ever prayed that prayer, "Jesus, I just want more patience"? How'd that work for you? The reality is that the fruit isn't just something that we can come up with on our own. We don't just do better and have this fruit. We can't decide to just be more loving or more joyful or more peaceful or more patient and suddenly we are. It might work for a short amount of time, but it will not last because we cannot do this in our own strength. Fruit is not something we do. It's what we display when we are walking with the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit who is transforming us, shaping us, planting seeds within us that will produce fruit when we cultivate it. And we do that by being in the Word of God, by listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, and by submitting every single day to Him. That's when the fruit will come. And the fruit of the Spirit, it's a package deal. It's fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits of the Spirit. It's not a pick and choose list. Okay, I want some joy, I want some peace, I want some self-control, but you know what? I'm good on the kindness, I don't need any of that. No, this is a package deal. When we walk by the Spirit, He gives us His fruit, all of it. It's all being produced in us, and it will be shown through us so that it's obvious to others. It's not about perfection, and I want to be careful here. This is not about perfection. That's actually what the law was all about. The law, and we saw already, the law wasn't cutting it. No one could live up to that standard. This is about a walk. It's about a committed walk. I am choosing to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit that produces character. And that character is what shows that you and I belong to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that you will know people by their fruit. He says everyone's producing fruit. It's either good fruit or it's bad fruit. But you'll be able to tell. When we walk by the Spirit, the fruit, it's His fruit, and it's good, and it will show up in our lives. So are we, as followers of Jesus, showing the fruit of the Spirit? Is it present in your life? We are to be a people who are characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, even self-control. And this fruit, it's not just given to the super spiritual or the hyper spiritual. This fruit is the result of you and I walking and living a normal Christian life. This is what we are meant to do. This isn't something far-fetched that, okay, only when I get to this level will the fruit come. No. If we are walking in step with the Spirit, this is the natural result. His fruit will come. A life lived in step with the Spirit when we every single day surrender to Him. Now at this point, you might be thinking, okay, I got this. I can do it. I can keep on walking with the Spirit. I can get this fruit. And in part, that's kind of true. Yes, do it. Keep trying. Keep walking in step. But man, we can't do it on our own. And we have to be careful that we're taking the focus off of what I can do and rather on what Christ has done and continues to do in us. See, if we begin to shift our focus to me doing better, so that I can produce fruit, I'm going back to being like those foolish Galatians who thought that they could be saved by living according to the standards of the law. And that always resulted in failure. We cannot do this in our own strength. It is only through Jesus that we have victory. This Jesus who saw us, saw that we were broken, saw how sin entangled us and continued to trap us in this cycle of sin and separation. And so what did Jesus do? He stepped in. He chose relationship. He chose relationship with us. While we were still sinners, while we were still messing up. I think that is such a beautiful part of the gospel. Jesus didn't wait until we had it figured out. He stepped in when we were still messed up. And He paid our penalty, the penalty for our sin on the cross. He died so that we could live. He died so that we could be set free. He died so we could live a victorious life in Him. So the way forward for us is not based on what we can do, but solely on what He has done. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. You know what happens when you nail something to a cross and you crucify it? It dies. Leave it there. Leave it on the cross. Jesus defeated it. He rose. We don't have to carry that stuff anymore. The things of the flesh, the sinful nature. Nail it to the cross. Leave it there. The cross is where we can leave the ways of the flesh. The cross is where we experience freedom. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." See, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that then we could pick up all that baggage, that stuff of the flesh, and carry it with us. He died so we could be free. And he leads us by his Spirit to a life that honors him, a life that makes a big deal about him, about Jesus, as we keep in step. Galatians 5:25, this section ends with this: "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." In the NIV translation of the Bible, this is where it says, "Let us keep in step with the Spirit." We keep in step with him when we allow him to lead us as we move throughout our day. First, by listening for his voice and then following his lead. His voice is in the Word of God. So if we want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, if we want to see how he's leading us and guiding us and directing us, let's open the Word and read. I read this story once when someone said to their pastor, "Man, I really just want to hear God's voice." And so the pastor looked at them and said, "Okay, well, open the Word, open the Bible, and begin to read it." And this person was like, yeah, no, what I really mean is I really want to hear the audible voice of God." And the pastor stood there for a moment and then looked at the person, opened his Bible, said, "Then read it out loud." God's Word, his voice, it's in this Bible. We keep in step with him. We walk by his Spirit when we learn to listen to his voice and respond. He will speak to you through his Word. We just have to position ourselves to listen. Listen. There are places he wants us to go. There are tasks that he wants us to accomplish. There are gifts he wants us to use. There are attitudes that he wants to change within us. There are words that he wants us to speak as we make a big deal about him to others. He wants us to share his love, and sometimes there's a specific way that he wants us to do that. That means when the Holy Spirit says go, we go. When he prompts us to say something to someone, we say it. When he invites us to confess our sin, to repent, to walk away from the ways of the flesh, we do it. When he gives us opportunity to share his love, we obey. I was challenged several years ago, how many times that you'd hear a prayer request, I would hear a prayer request, and how easy it is to say, "Hey, I'm praying for you. I'll be praying for you." And then I met this lady, her name was Bonnie. And Bonnie changed my life. Because Bonnie, if you were having a conversation with her and she could tell that, you know, you needed prayer, she didn't say, "Okay, well, Lizzie, I'll be praying for you," right then and there. I mean, her eyes were still open. Did you know you could pray with your eyes open? You can. With her eyes open, just standing right there, I'd be mid-sentence. She'd be like, "Well, Jesus, we're just going to bring that to you right now. This thing that Lizzie's dealing with, we're not going to leave it. I want you to intervene. I want you to do this." You know, and she just starts praying this beautiful prayer in the middle of conversation. And I thought, now there is a woman who is walking in step with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a word that she's saying that, hey, I'll pray for you, and then you go home and you forget about it. How many of us are guilty of that? There's no shame here, right? It's in the moment. I am walking in step with the Spirit. I am listening to his voice, and I am responding. That is a life that will produce the fruit, his fruit. Last year in preschool, my son, Caleb, he learned a song about the fruit of the Spirit. It goes like this. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Just pick a weird fruit. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. And then it goes on to list the fruit. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? And he loved this song. In fact, if you go up to him today and you just say, hey, the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon, he will probably die laughing. He thinks it's hilarious. Or he might look at you like you're crazy and just walk away. It's about a 50-50 chance. Tyler and Annika, you guys can come. But for us today, I think it's important that we recognize what the fruit of the Spirit is and what it isn't. As Caleb learned, it's not a coconut, but we need to learn that the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the works of the flesh. It isn't something that we can produce on our own. It isn't a perfectly lived life, because as we know, that's just not possible. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it is produced when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. So today I encourage you, I invite you to walk in step with him. Walk in step with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life is a life that is walking with him. Ask him to lead and guide you. Stay in his word and listen to what he's telling you. Let's be a church that keeps in step with the Spirit of God. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Lord, that you dwell with us. You indwell us, and we can follow you. We can stay in step with you. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Father, I pray today that each one of us would be challenged to not try to do this on our own, in our own strength, in our flesh, but rather just to surrender, daily surrender to you, and to ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead us, to guide us. Thank you, Jesus. May we become more aware of your presence working in our lives. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Amen. Would you stand as we worship together?